638. The Blessed Virgin takes up her abode at Gethsemane with John, who foretells her Assumption. 21 August 1951. Mary is still in the house of the supper room. All alone in her usual room, she is sewing some very fine linen cloths, like long narrow tablecloths. Now and again she raises her head to look at the garden, and ascertain thus the time of the day by the position of the sunshine on its walls. And if she hears a noise in the house, or in the street, she listens carefully. She seems to be waiting for someone. Some time goes by so. Then there is a knock at the door of the house, followed by the rustling of sandals of someone who rushes to open it. Voices of men resound in the corridor and they become louder and louder and closer. Mary listens. Then she exclaims,
"Are they here? What on earth has happened?"
While she is still uttering these words, somebody knocks at the door of her room.
"Come in, brothers in Jesus, my Lord,"
replies Mary. Lazarus and Joseph of Arimathea enter, and greeting her with deep veneration they say,
"Blessed are you among all mothers. The servants of your Son and our Lord greet you."
And they prostrate themselves to kiss the hem of her dress.
"The Lord be always with you. For what reason, and while the ferment of the persecutors of the Christ and of his followers has not yet ceased, have you come to me?"
"First of all, to see you. Because seeing you is still seeing him, and thus we feel less distressed because of his departure from the earth. And then to propose to you what we have resolved to do after a meeting in my house of the more loving and faithful servants of Jesus, your Son and our Lord."
Lazarus replies to her,
"Tell me. It will be your love that speaks to me, and with my love I will listen to you."
Joseph of Arimathea now begins to speak and says,
"Woman, you know and you have said so, that the ferment, and what is even worse, still lasts against all those who have been close to your Son and God's, either through relationship, or faith, or friendship. And we are aware that you do not intend to leave these places, where you have seen the perfect manifestation of the divine and human nature of your Son, his total mortification, and his total glorification, through his passion and death as true man, through his glorious resurrection and ascension, as true God. And we also know that you do not want to leave the apostles all alone, as you wish to be a mother and guide to them in their first trials. You, the Sea of Divine Wisdom, you, the Spouse of the Spirit, Revealer of the Eternal Truths, you, eternally beloved daughter of the Father who from eternity chose you as mother of his only begotten Son, you, the mother of this word of the Father, who certainly taught you his infinite and most perfect wisdom and doctrine, even before he was in you, as a creature that was forming, or he was with you as a son who grows in age and wisdom to such an extent as to become the master of masters. John told us the day after the first astonishing sermon and apostolic manifestation, which took place 10 days after the ascension of Jesus to heaven. You, in turn, know, as you saw it at Gethsemane on the day of the ascension of your Son to his Father, and as you were told by Peter, John and other apostles, that Lazarus and I, immediately after the death and resurrection, began to build a wall around my kitchen garden near Golgotha, and at Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, so that those places, sanctified by the divine martyr's blood, that dropped, alas, warmed by fever at Gethsemane, and frozen and clotted in my garden, may not be profaned by Jesus's enemies. The work has now been completed, and both Lazarus and I, and his sisters with him and the apostles, who would suffer too much not having you here any longer, say to you, take up your abode in the house of Jonah and Mary, the keepers of Gethsemane."
"And Jonah and Mary? That house is a small one, and I love solitude. I have always loved it. And I love it even more now, because I need it to get lost in God, in my Jesus, so that I may not die of anguish, not having him here any longer. It is not fair that human eyes should be laid on the mysteries of God, because he is God now more than ever. I woman, Jesus man. But our humanity was, and is, different from every other one, both because of our immunity from sin, also from the original one, and because of our relationship with God one and trine. We are unique in these things among all creatures past, present, and future. Now man, even the best and most prudent one, is naturally and inevitably curious, particularly if he is near an extraordinary manifestation. And only Jesus and I, as long as he was on the earth, know what sufferings, yes, also shame, uneasiness, torture is experienced when human curiosity pries into, watches, spies upon our secrets with God. It is the same as if they placed us naked in the middle of a square. Think of my past, how I have always sought secrecy, silence, how I have always concealed, under the appearance of the common life of a poor woman, the mysteries of God in me. Recall how, in order not to reveal them even to my spouse Joseph, I almost made of him, a just man, an unjust one. Only the angelic intervention avoided that danger. Think of the life so humble, hidden, common. Led by Jesus for 33 years, how easily he would withdraw and become isolated when he was the master. He had to work miracles and teach, because that was his mission. But, he told me himself, he suffered, one of the many reasons for the severity and sadness that flashed in his large powerful eyes. He suffered, I was saying, because of the exaltation of the crowds, because of the more or less good curiosity with which they watched every action of his. How many times did he order his disciples, and those he had cured miraculously, saying, "Do not mention what you have seen. Do not mention what I have done for you." Now I should not like human eyes to inquire into the mysteries of God in me, mysteries that have not ceased with the return to heaven of Jesus, my Son and my God. No, on the contrary, they last, and I should say that they increase, thanks to his goodness, and to keep me alive, until the hour comes, for which I have longed so much, of joining him forever. I would like only John with me, because he is prudent, respectful, loving with me like another Jesus. But Jonah and Mary will know.
Lazarus interrupts her.
It has already been done, O blessed mother. We have already seen to it. Mark, Jonah's son, is among the disciples. Mary, his mother, and Jonah, his father, are already at Bethany.
But the olive grove? It needs to be taken care of.
Mary replies to him.
Only when it is time to prune, to plow and pick the olives. So, only a few days each year, and which will be even fewer, because in those periods I will send my servants from Bethany with Mark. You, mother, if you want to make us happy, my sisters and me, will come to Bethany in those days, to the zealot's solitary house. We shall be close to one another, but our eyes will not be indiscreet with regard to your meetings with God.
But the oil mill?
It has already been transferred to Bethany. Gethsemane, completely enclosed, the property even more reserved of Lazarus of Theophilus, is awaiting you, Mary. And I assure you that the enemies of Jesus, out of fear of Rome, will not dare to violate its peace and yours.
Oh, since it is so,
exclaims Mary, and she presses her hands against her heart and looks at them with a countenance that is almost ecstatic, so blissful it is, with an angelic smile on her lips and tears of joy on her fair eyelashes. She continues,
John and I, alone, we two all alone, I shall seem to be once again at Nazareth with my son, alone, in peace, in that peace, where my Jesus gave forth so many words and so much spirit of peace, where, it is true, he suffered so much that he sweated blood and received the supreme moral sorrow of the infamous kiss and the first.
A sob and a very painful recollection interrupt her words and upsets her. Face that, for a few moments, has once more the sorrowful expression it had on the days of the passion and death of her son. She then collects herself and says,
there, where he went back to the infinite peace of paradise, I will soon send Mary of Alpheus instructions to look after my little house in Nazareth, which is so dear to me, because the mystery was accomplished there and my spouse, so pure and holy, died there, and Jesus grew up in it. So dear. But never as much as these places, where he instituted the rite of rites, and he became bread, blood, life for men, and he suffered and redeemed, and he founded his church, and, with his last blessing, he made all the things of creation good and holy. I will remain. Yes. I will remain here. I will go to Gethsemane. And from there, walking along the outside of the walls, I shall be able to go to Golgotha, and to your kitchen garden, Joseph, where I wept so much, and I shall be able to come to your house, Lazarus, where I have always had so much love, and my son first, and then for myself. But I should like...
What, blessed mother?
They both ask her.
I should like to come back here as well. Because together with the apostles, we had decided, providing Lazarus allows us.
Everything you want, mother. Everything I have, is yours. Previously I used to say so to Jesus. Now I say it to you. And if you accept my gift, it is always I who receive a grace.
Son, let me call you so. I should like you to allow us to make of this house, that is of the supper room, a place for meetings, and for the brotherly agape.
It is just. In this place your son instituted the new eternal rite, he founded his new church, elevating his apostles and disciples to a new pontificate and priesthood. It is just that that room should become the first temple of the new religion. The seed that tomorrow will be a tree, and then a huge forest, the embryo that tomorrow will be a complete vital organism, and that will grow more and more in height, depth, and width, spreading all over the earth. Which table and altar are holier than the ones on which he broke the bread, and laid the chalice of the new rite, that will last, as long as the earth?
That is true, Lazarus. And, see? For it I am sewing clean tablecloths. Because I believe, as no one will believe with equal strength, that the bread and wine are he, in his flesh, and in his blood. Most holy and innocent flesh, redeeming blood, given in food and drink of life to men. May the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit bless you, O good wise men, who have always been compassionate to the Son, and to his mother.
So it is decided. Take this. It is the key that opens the various gates of the enclosure of Gethsemane. And this is the key of the house. And be happy, as much as God grants you to be. And as much as our poor love would like you to be.
Now that Lazarus has finished speaking, Joseph of Arimathea in turn says,
And this is the key of the enclosure of my kitchen garden. But you are quite entitled to go in. I have another one, Mary. The market gardener is a just man, and so is his son. You will find only them and me there. And we will be prudent and respectful.
May God bless you again.
Repeats Mary.
Thanks to you, mother. Our love and the peace of God to you, always.
They prostrate themselves after this last greeting. They kiss the hem of her dress once again, and they go away. They have just gone out of the house, when another moderate knock is heard at the door of the room in which Mary is.
Come in,
says Mary. John does not make her repeat it twice. He goes in and closes the door, somewhat worried. He asks,
What did Joseph and Lazarus want? Is there any danger?
No, son. There is only the satisfaction of a wish of mine. A wish of mine, and of other people. You know how Peter and James of Elpheus, the former the pontiff, the latter the head of the Church of Jerusalem, are desolate at the thought of losing me, as they are afraid they will not know what to do without me. James in particular. Not even the special apparition of my son to him, and his election by the will of Jesus, comfort and fortify him. But also the others. Lazarus is now satisfying this general wish, and makes us the masters of Gethsemane. You and I, all alone there. Here are the keys. And this is the key of Joseph's kitchen garden. We shall be able to go to the sepulchre, to Bethany, without going through the town. And to go to Golgotha. And come here every time there is the brotherly agape. Lazarus and Joseph are granting us everything.
They are really two just men. Lazarus received a lot from Jesus. That is true. But, even before receiving, he always gave everything to Jesus. Are you happy, mother?
Yes, John. So much. I will live, as long as God wants, helping Peter and James and all of you, and I will help the first Christians in every way. If the Judeans, the Pharisees and the priests are not wild animals also towards me, as they were for my son, I shall be able to breathe my last, where he ascended to his father.
You will ascend as well, mother.
No. I am not Jesus. I was born in a human way.
But without stain of origin. I am a poor ignorant fisherman. With regard to doctrines and scriptures I know only what the master taught me. But I am like a boy, because I am pure. And so, perhaps I know more than the rabbis of Israel, because he said so. God hides things from the wise, and reveals them to the little and pure ones. And that is why I think, or better, I feel that Eve will have the destiny that Eve would have had, if she had not sinned. And even more, because you have not been the spouse of an Adam man, but of God, to give the earth the new Adam faithful to grace. The Creator, when He created our first parents, did not destine them to die, that is to the corruption of the most perfect body created by Him, and made the most noble among all the bodies created, because it is endowed with a spiritual soul, and with the gratuitous gifts of God, whereby they could be called adoptive sons of God. But what He wanted for them was only a passage from the earthly paradise to the celestial one. Now you have never had any stain of sin on your soul. Not even the great common sin, the heritage of Adam to all human beings, affected you, because God preserved you from it by a singular unique privilege, as from ever, you had been destined to become the Ark of the Word. And the Ark, even the one that, alas, contains nothing but cold, arid, dead things, because, really, the people of God do not put them into practice as they should, is, and must always be most pure. The Ark is, yes. But among those who approach it, pontiff and priests, who is really as pure as you are? No one. That is why I feel that you, the second Eve, and Eve faithful to grace, are not destined to death.
My son, the second Adam, grace itself, always obedient to his father, to me, in a perfect manner, died. And of what death?
He had come to be the Redeemer, Mother. He left his father, heaven, he took flesh upon himself, in order to redeem men, through his sacrifice, give grace back to them, and then elevate them once again to the rank of adoptive sons of God, heirs to heaven. He had to die. And his most holy humanity died. And you died in your heart seeing his cruel torture and his death. You have already suffered everything to be the Redeemer with him. I am a poor foolish boy, but I feel that you, the true Ark of the true living God, will not be, you cannot be subject to corruption. As the cloud of fire protected, and guided the Ark of Moses towards the promised land, so the fire of God will attract you to its center. As the branch of Aaron did not wither, did not perish, on the contrary, although detached from the tree, it put forth buds, leaves and yielded fruit and lived in the tabernacle, so you, chosen by God among all the women who lived, and will live on the earth, will not die like a plant that withers, but you will live forever, with your whole self, in the tabernacle of heaven. As the waters of the Jordan opened to let the ark, its bearers and all the people pass in the days of Joshua, so the barriers that the sin of Adam placed between heaven and earth will open for you, and from this world you will pass to the eternal heaven. I am sure of that. Because God is just. And the decree issued by God for those who have neither hereditary nor voluntary sin on their souls applies to you.
Has Jesus revealed that to you?
No, Mother. The Spirit Paraclete tells me, He who the Master informed us would reveal future things and all truth to us. The Comforter is already telling me in my spirit, to make less bitter for me the thought of losing you, blessed Mother, whom I love, and venerate as much, and even more than my own mother, because of what you have suffered, because you are good and holy, inferior only to your most holy Son among all present and future saints. The greatest saint.
And John, deeply moved, prostrates himself venerating her.